It's Helping Hand. HPR One stations every week on Friday afternoons and online at hawaiipublicradio.org. We try to put the spotlight on an organization, a topic, event that offers assistance to the disabled, the most vulnerable in the community, and other folks who are in need. Hi, I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week, grateful to have you listening and to have a returning guest organization, the SPIN Network. Special Parent Information Network is what it stands for. According to their website, spinhawaii.org, it is a parent-to-parent organization here in the islands, provides information, support, and referral to parents of kids and young adults with disabilities and the professionals who serve them. We're privileged today to learn more about their valiant efforts with our returning guest, coordinator at the SPIN Network, I should say longtime coordinator, Susan Rocco, and a new guest, program specialist, Amanda Ka'ahanui. Aloha, Amanda and Susan. Thank you both for coming down here.
Aloha. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
It's great to have you here and in the studio. For parents or other loved ones or professionals who have disabled children or young adults in their lives, if you can first shed a bit of light on how the SPIN Network can help and provide some background on the organization, Amanda.
Well, for families that have a new child that maybe have a disability, it can be very overwhelming. There's a lot of things going on. There's a medical side. There's early intervention. When you're getting into school, it can be crazy, and you don't know where to turn. And that's where SPIN can come in. We can help guide families to resources in the community that are available to them so that they have those helping hands around them. So if they need help with insurance, we can help find a person. And it's not just, here's a random number to call. We have connections in the community. Susan has been working with our community for many, many years and knows people out there. So when we give a number to call, we're pretty confident of who's on the other end to answer that call and can help and guide and lead families along on their journey.
And that's an important area, if I can add some insight. Also, what you're saying is often when you're dealing with someone who's disabled and you're trying to get the appropriate services for them, it can be an incredible almost runaround to find the right source of information. And that's why I guess you're emphasizing that you're not only a source of information, you're a source of vetted and researched information.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's one of the things I can imagine would be challenging. On the program, we've gotten to explore a lot of things where parents have newly discovered, children who have acquired a disability at a very young age, and that can be a very frightening experience for them. I just had a guest on, and they have a blind daughter and 2 years old, and sort of learning to make those adaptations can be pretty difficult. SPIN is funded how? How do you guys get the resources to do what you're doing?
We are funded by the Department of Education, and we are housed in the Department of Health's Disability and Communication Access Board. So it's really a great partnership between the DOE and the DOH.
Okay. And that's when you guys are, so there's also a component of that, I'm assuming, is also support from the community. How else do you guys get funds, or does it all come from the government?
We do have partners in the community that support us for our SPIN conference. We've been doing a SPIN conference for 30 years.
Wow.
Coming up. April 16th in 2016 will be our 30th conference. And so our community support comes from agencies that will help us with airfare so we can get families coming from neighbor islands. They will support us with scholarships for families that can't afford to come to the conference themselves. And then they'll also donate in-kind services, volunteers, and money so that we can provide door prizes and fun things for families.
Susan, you've done this a long time. Shed some light on the conference itself and how that would be an invaluable thing for people who are struggling to find resources to help their loved one.
I think the biggest thing that the conference does for families is to prove that they're not alone. Having a kid with a disability can sometimes be isolating, and when you get into a room of folks that are like-minded and having similar experiences, and you're also surrounded with helping professionals, you really are buoyed up with the sense that there are folks that will help you on your journey. There's positive dreams that you can aim for. So it's a lot about networking, but it's also about keeping families hopeful about the future.
At your website, one of the things that's I think is noting, your events page offers a wide range of activities and get-togethers that go, it touches on a lot of other organizations that are doing great things. Almost all of them have been on the program before, so it was a thrill to see how they've been integrated into your monthly calendar, basically. Can you talk a little bit about how that opens you guys up so that you're really incorporating the potential assistance that comes from some of these other groups?
Right, so we want to be able to share what's going on in the community because families often get focused on in one direction or with one group, and so we want to be able to say, hey, did you know that this support group is going on? Did you know that this agency is doing a workshop? Did you know that this is happening over here? And especially for our neighbor island families where resources are really small and localized, we want to make sure they know what's going on as well with statewide service. So it's a really great partnership. We get emails, we get calls, we get flyers. Anything that we're finding out that's happening in our community that's for parents, really centered on parents and professional development, we want to share that with our community.
And when you mention, just because we haven't talked about it directly, the other islands other than Oahu, you guys are based here, and then how does it work with interacting with families in need there?
Well, families can call us from the neighbor islands, and we will chat with them. Sometimes it's just a matter of talking to parents. You know, they call with a worry about an IEP or something's going on, and they often have the answer inside of them, or they know kind of where they're going, and they just need someone to bounce that off of. And having another parent to talk to can be really important. If they need more professional services or an agency service, then we've got those connections for them on the neighbor islands that they may, again, not have known about.
And some of the groups I'm talking about is Access Surf is one that's up there. I see Easter Seals events that are happening. And then there are groups that I had not been as aware of. United Self-Help, they looked really interesting. And as an organization that I'm gonna reach out to, actually, as a follow-up. But I was just curious, how do you find, you said they get in touch with you. Some of these people email you. Or is it also an opportunity for you to kind of search out organizations that you think will be beneficial?
Yes, definitely. And as part of SPIN, we want to make sure that these are a vetted organization. So we do reach out and talk to them. We have relationships with them. If it's a fly-by-night company or organization, we are a little more hesitant because we want to make sure families are getting really positive support and support that's going to be there and follow them throughout their Keiki's life. So anything that's on our website or that we're sharing, you can be assured that Susan knows them probably personally,
right,
and that we have had a relationship with them for a long time.
In terms of regular meetings or get-togethers that you guys host, in addition to the ones that you gather there from other organizations, are there regular ones that you want to give a highlight to?
We really appreciate the Learning Disability Association of Hawaii, LDAH. They do amazing workshops and things around the state. They've got their traveling conference coming up pretty soon, so they'll be touching on different islands.
What's that? When's their traveling? Do you know roughly when that is?
The first one starts this month.
Okay.
It's going to be on Lanai.
Okay, Learning Disability Assist.
I believe it's on August 13th.
Okay.
It's the first one.
I know those guys, Michael.
Moore.
Michael Moore, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, he's a great guy.
And it's on the calendar, so they can go to spin.org.
Right, well, I want to get him on the show, too. I want to go one step further, but no, that's great. Yeah, I meant to give them, when I was mentioning, I just couldn't think of all the epileptic, I saw the Epilepsy Foundation as well up there.
Easter Seals, if they're doing something.
Yeah, and they do a lot of good stuff, too. And that's important. Sometimes people... it's easy to overlook things that are out there for you. And I speak from experience. So I know there were a lot of things that could have helped my mom that she just didn't know about. It's probably one of the reasons I like to do the segment and maybe to find different nooks and crannies, for lack of a better word, of describing it, where there are services, where there is support. And like you said, Susan, sometimes the most valuable support is just somebody else who's going through the same experience. Like you said, that you're not alone. One of the things that I imagine invaluable, that you guys have a list of services that you offer. One of the things, the challenge of dealing with the school system, when you have a disabled kid, from reading the website, I gather that is one area of concern and challenge, for you guys. And advocacy is mentioned as something that you do. Can you talk a little bit about how you guys interface with challenges that come up for disabled kids and school?
If a family gives us a call and says, hey, my IEP is coming up and I'm really worried about service, or if they feel like there might be some conflict, we're there to try to talk them through it, connect them to an organization like LDAH or other consumer organizations. And we also have a parent guide that's recently been reprinted. And that's got a lot of information for families as well to know their rights when they're going into the IEP meeting. We want to build the confidence in the families, but we also want to instill in them that this is a partnership with the education. We often think of it as a marriage, you know, for the next 18 to 20 years between the Department of Education and the families. And so you want to go in not there with strife. You, of course, want to have a good outcome, and you want to have the right supports for your child, but you don't want to go in there fighting all the time if you can help it. So we really try and advocate for families to think about how they can get the supports they need, but also be a partner in that communication.
Susan, over your years with the organization, is that a recurring need that you guys have been, people have come to you for, meaning throughout your years, there's been a lot of challenges trying to get the proper education and environment for disabled kids, and people have come to you as a resource in that?
I think it's true everywhere. I mean, in America, we have much stronger laws regarding educating kids with disabilities, but in every state, there are instances where families feel their children's needs are not being met. And our experience is that usually the school partners are doing their best, but the child's needs are unique. And the one thing that we think is the most helpful is for educators to listen carefully to families. That's something that doesn't always happen, but that often will tease out what the family's fears are, what their hopes are, and help to build a bridge to services for the child.
Stepping back from that issue and just thinking about the SPIN network, if you could say, what are the, is there a main area that people come to you guys for with concern? When people reach out to you, what is a typical thing that people would reach out and say, we need help?
Oh gosh, it's really varied. You know, it's as varied as the families in our state and the different kinds of disabilities. We get a lot of calls about the education system and the IEPs that are coming up and services that are needed are not happening and how can I get them. Those are a big majority, but they also are, you know, my child is transitioning out of high school and into the adult community, and where do I turn and what do I do and how do I get there? It might be someone that's newly diagnosed and saying, I'm new to all this. What do I do? Because there's no guide, you know, to being a regular parent and to being a special parent. You definitely need some guidance that way.
And the individual nature of ending up with a disability, I guess what you're pointing out, it's pretty valuable. The diagnosis can come at any time. This could happen. And maybe 13, 14, I mean, it could happen at any point, and everything shifts suddenly.
Absolutely. It isn't always children that are born with
right.
a disability. It could be an accident that happens. It could be something that just metabolizes in them, and their whole life changes. And your whole focus of your child's education and your dreams, and we try and help families see that the dreams don't have to change, that the future doesn't necessarily have to change. It's just a different pathway.
Adaptation.
Yeah.
You mentioned it, and I want to dial in a little closer because it's really the transition from being a kid to being an adult, a young adult, and from a recent segment, you know, that's like, unfortunately, the world, you have to, in most cases, you have to provide for yourself, and it's tough out there. And so when there's getting out of school, being on your own, the challenges that would come, can you talk about the kind of resources that you mentioned it as your loved one is now becoming an adult and you want them to be able to survive as best as they can on their own and have jobs, skills, and be able to be integrated in the community in a self-sustaining way. Can you speak a little bit to how you guys can help parents and loved ones in that area?
Sure. There is a transition fair, or a transition that happens in the school setting that should be happening from the middle school all the way on up through high school. We are supporting a transition fair that's happening. It's going to be on the leeward side at Kapolei High School in October. You can find that on our website. And there's where agencies are coming together. They have a great speaker, Leolinda Parlin from Hilo Pa'a, and she's going to talk a lot about transition from high school into adulthood. So there'll be agencies there that have job skills and jobs training, if they're going to move on into higher education, what those supports look like. So we're really connecting to families to resources all in one place. So something like that's a really great opportunity for families.
That's a huge one. Because having a career is also, not only is it important just to be able to put food on the table, but it's a psychological, whatever you're doing, to be feeling productive, I guess, with your time. Is a really important thing. Before I get into ways folks can help you guys out, costs or any important requirement information for someone considering getting in touch, is there any costs or anything involved with getting help from you guys?
Absolutely not. We are a totally free opportunity for our families and professionals to reach out to us.
And on that professional note, too, you're looking for people who have questions. I'm assuming, but you'll correct me, is that it's educators who are dealing with the disabled child or children, and they may have challenges. Who exactly, on the professional end, are you looking for contact from?
We do get care coordinators from early intervention. We get the military.
Exceptional Family Member Program.
Yeah, they're wonderful. They work with families in the military. They often give us a call looking for resources in the community. It could be another organization saying, I got a parent that called me and this is outside of my normal realm. Where do I send them?
And so other organizations, too, will see you guys as a resource to help out getting the proper care and attention for a disabled minor or young person. And the service is basically geared around minors and then young adults.
Absolutely.
Is there a cutoff? So it's young adult. What does that go to? 24, 30? I guess you're still young at 80. I don't know. Where does it in this day and age?
We would never turn any family away or any person away because we then would say, well, here's a place where you can go to turn to. So anybody can call us at any time. Our main focus really is kind of the 0 to 22 set. But anybody that's needing a resource or a direction that we can give them, we will.
God bless you for being that way. Ways to help you guys out. We learned about how your funding works, but what can we do in terms of donating, contributing, both with resources like cash, but also with things like the power of people's companies or employers and people's own personal time as volunteers?
Well, our SPIN conference is pretty big. It's a big part of what we do every year, and we are always looking for volunteers that can help us with the SPIN conference because it's just Susan and I. People often think, oh, SPIN, you're this big thing because you've got all these things going on, but really it's just Susan and I and our community partners. So volunteers are really important to us. We do have door prizes and other prizes available to families when they come to the conference, and then we're needing assistance with that because, you know, we are state funded, and some of that money is really difficult to purchase things that we need.
So people who wanted to provide gifts that you would use as prizes or incentives for folks?
Yes, or gift cards that we could use to purchase things that we couldn't do through the system that we're working with. And then also we have a lot of vendors and agencies and support groups that we highlight and showcase. Last year we had 65 agency and vendor tables and support group tables. So if someone is interested in sharing their information with the community, they can also sign up, and that helps to support the conference.
By having a presence there.
Yeah, having a table.
And giving visibility. How about the thing that's coming up in October on the leeward side? Is that something that you would need volunteers to assist with?
We do need volunteers for that as well. We are looking for students that could come and help that might be a high school student. Best Buddies is a big supporter of that program as well. And also just parents or adults that might just want to come out and help guide people and direct people and assist with it. But we're also looking for prizes and donations for families to come out for that as well.
Well, that's a lot of ways people can help out, certainly by donating things that would be a prize or incentive or a reward. Best Buddies, forgive me, I'm not familiar with it. What's the what is that?
Susan, you want to talk?
Best Buddies has been a wonderful organization that it helps to connect mostly young adults with intellectual disabilities and their non-disabled peers and create bonds of friendship that then have a big impact on the person's, on both individuals' lives by creating new opportunities,
And it's interaction. It's basically pairing up. I thought I knew what it was, but it's basically a tool to help integrate people who are disabled to make sure they're included and be with people who aren't disabled and realize all the things that they do share, as opposed to the handful of things that they don't.
Right. And it's in middle schools and in high schools around the state. And there's a Best Buddy organization so that people can reach out to them.
And that's an independent nonprofit.
Yes.
All right. I'll be reaching out to them myself for you. So we got them. Any other partner organizations you want to shine the light on? I've gotten two from you so far today. So thinking there may be a United Self-Help, Best Buddies, any other small organization that's doing really good work that you want to shine the light on?
Gosh, that's hard because...
You do a lot. I see a lot of people.
And there's a lot of really fantastic organizations out there and that are doing, you know, they're finding that niche and they're serving that population. So it's kind of hard to mention one or two and then not want to slight anybody because
After
really
School All-Stars? You work with them at all? After School All-Stars?
We haven't yet, but we will look forward to...
They do a similar thing with the Special Olympics and they help to provide... tutors and people who will help with school, and it's a lot of the same sort of concept of pairing and in trying to integrate people. After School All-Stars, they're definitely someone in the Special Olympics.
That's great. See, we've learned something from you today that we'll be going back and doing a little research on.
had to try. So here's how to get in touch with these wonderful folks. If you have prizes that you want to give them, if you have time that you want to give them, maybe you want to write them a check. SpinHawaii.org is their home online. They have a variety of numbers for specific islands at their page, and at 808-586-8126, you can call and they'll direct you to a more appropriate number. We'll also list things out at our website. You can find them on Facebook, too. Simply look for Spin Hawaii online there. Things about your program that we haven't covered today, they are important to get in there. Susan, Amanda?
One thing is that SPIN has the privilege of being able to support the Special Education Advisory Council. Amanda and I are staff to that important voluntary council that advises the Department of Education on the unmet needs of children with disabilities, students with disabilities. So SEAC is where a lot of the systems advocacy happens. And that's an exciting place. It's an open once-a-month meeting that anyone can attend. It's open to the sunshine. But its focus is on improving the delivery of special education services.
Any legal help you guys need in any of this? If there are lawyers and stuff that wanted to be involved and assist you in any of this, is that something that you need?
Well, SPIN is unique, as Amanda said, in that we are a parent-to-parent, but we're sitting in a state organization.
Right.
And as such, we are considered systems advocates, but not individual advocates. So we will point to lawyers, but we don't need lawyers for our own
work. Muscle or teeth to back up your effort. Okay. Just checking as you were mentioning that. It just popped in my head. I hadn't thought about the advocacy role. You really do need to. It's amazing. And people who are in need, they need help to back up what they're doing, and especially when it comes to school and dealing with the massive system of someone's education. Only through this feature have I come to learn how much that is like a huge, how much of a concern it would be for a parent or a loved one having to deal with this big system and sending your little baby away for hours every day to be in the care of someone, and you really want to hope that things work out good for them. The door is open. You can get in touch with me anytime if you ever want to be back on the program. Please don't hesitate. Coordinator at the SPIN Network, Susan Rocco. Program Specialist, Amanda Ka'ahanui. And on behalf of all the kids that you're helping out and all their parents and other loved ones, thank you very much for doing what you do. I really do appreciate it.
Mahalo for having us.
Thank you, Dave.
You're quite welcome.
Very nice. Thanks.